We're going to primarily be looking at Jesus and being asked what the greatest command is and his answer to that, and the Great Commission, verses that we have been looking at throughout the month of March and considering missions and outreach and how we're able to help others in need. So let's go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 28. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, it says, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' 'The most important one,' answered Jesus, 'is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these.'" So Jesus, when asked what the greatest commandment is, he says, love God with everything that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment that's greater than these. That idea of loving God with all that we are, we would typically call that worship. Building a purposeful, intimate relationship with God, building that relationship with him that gives us a connection of purpose, a connection in which we are seeking and longing after his heart, after his desire, after who he is. We do that in worship. And oftentimes we think of worship as what we just did. So we just finished worship and now we're doing something else, right? We just sang and that was the worship and now we're reading the Bible and that's something different. Worship is a lot more than only singing songs. So some people say, well, I don't really worship much because I don't like singing. I don't worship much because I'm not a very good singer. So worship really isn't for me. Worship goes far beyond simply singing, not simply, goes far beyond singing songs. Amen? Worship is our building our relationship with God. Worship is our growing and strength toward God and giving him praise and glory, whether it be through word or through action or through obedience. Worship goes far beyond singing. That's included in that. It can be included in that. But worship is far more than one thing that we say, well, this is worship, and this is what worship looks like and how it goes. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. This is right in the midst of three specific times that it talks about Jesus being tempted and the adversary coming to him and bringing temptation directly before him. In verse 8 of Matthew chapter 4, and I'll read it while you're going there, because verse 10 is really the one we want to look at. "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.'" Jesus says to him in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus says to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. For us in our lives then, personally and individually, for us to establish God as God alone, that there is none beside him, that we will not establish or put anything in our lives that takes that priority of God, that he will be the focal point of the decisions that I make, of the things that I do, of the life I live, that I won't turn my heart to another, but I will worship God and God alone. There's a lot of stuff in life that can creep in, isn't there? There's a lot of stuff in life that can creep in. A lot of things, a lot of issues. There's just a bunch of stuff out there that's able to creep into our lives. And if we're not purposeful in our worship, if we're not purposeful in our relationship with God, then we're going to let some of those other things creep in and start to take that position that one alone deserves, and that is God. We'll allow other things to begin taking our time, to begin taking our heart, taking our relationship. And there is one that deserves that, and that is the Lord God, creator of the heavens and the earth. And our purpose as individuals and our purpose as a body of believers is God. It's our relationship with Him and building that relationship with Him. And so as we allow other things to start to take the place of those, we need to recognize that and tear those down. To take those things down and not allow them the foothold of our time, of our heart, of our mind, of our strength, but rather establish God as God alone. Establish Him as God alone. And then build and strengthen that relationship with Him. So after, when Jesus is asked what's the greatest commandment, He answers, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. To have in our lives then a goal and purpose as well, to not set ourselves as the preeminent person of all of life. To not put ourselves in a position where I am more important than anybody else. Too often, we find ourselves in that. What I want goes. What I desire goes, and everybody else, well, they'll kind of get the after thoughts. They'll get the energy and strength afterward. That they'll receive from me after I receive from me. I'm too tired to do that, so I want to be able to do this, and everybody else can kind of wait until later. Too often we put ourselves in a position where I become the most important individual in my life, rather than being in a position where we understand and recognize the needs of others around us. Let's go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It says, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. We're actually going to come back in a few minutes. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13 together. But that idea that we as God's people, as God's body, that we have the ability to do works of service. We have the ability to do works of service. They're called to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built. That works of service is loving our neighbor as ourselves. Those works of service are building and encouraging each other around us. We would call that ministry. Typically, we'd call that ministry. Being involved in ministry with each other, being involved in our realm of influence. Remember last week we talked about missions in our realm of influence, but ministry in our realm of influence. Building up and encouraging and strengthening the body so that we can be involved in work, so that we can be involved in doing. Right? See, here's the thing. When we become too unbalanced in one way or another, when we become too unbalanced in one way or another, we're exactly that. We're unbalanced. If our life is... If our life is purposefully only building our relationship with God and not following that relationship through work, through effort, then we become unbalanced in that we will sometimes focus only on the things that we think are important in our relationship. And so we'll take our time and we will sit and meditate and pray and we'll spend our time in worship to the Lord. And when that becomes all that we do, we don't have a whole a whole scope of that which God calls us to. You guys following me? Am I making any sense at all? You see, if we only build our relationship with God and think that the only thing that I do is build my stronghold with Him without being obedient to His Word, which calls us to connect and interact with other people, which calls us to build relationships with other people as well. If I say the only thing I'm going to be worried about is only me and God and everybody else doesn't, then we have that unbalance of everybody else doesn't matter. And that's not appropriate. You see, our building our relationship with God, our worship with Him, is to strengthen and build Him up in our own minds. That strengthens and builds us up in our own lives. Not for me to be built up in my life. That's not the goal. The goal isn't so that I'm built up and prepared and ready for work and I'm not ever going to do anything because I want to keep building up and being ready for work. You see, a natural outflow of our building up of our relationship with God, a natural outflow of that is our ministry to others as well. Because we're not in this alone. We're not in this by ourselves. Now, the unbalance on the other side is for me to be in a position where I say, I'm only going to make sure that I always help other people, and I'm always going to make sure that I only do this, and I give and give and give to this person, and this person, and this person, and we completely leave out then that building up of our relationship with God, that source of strength for us to be able to minister to other people. We leave that out, and we rely on our own abilities, our own efforts, our own strength, and trying to meet the needs of other people and ministering to them. And so that becomes very unbalanced in that we're not building our relationship with God, and so we're not finding our strength from Him to be able to do these works of service, to be able to minister to other people. So our goal then, as individuals and as a church body, is to be building our relationship with God, establishing Him first and foremost in our lives. And as we build that relationship with Him and then live out our faith in Him, as we live out that which the Word calls us to through our study, as we live that out, ministering to other people is going to occur as well. Amen? If it doesn't, then we're not reading the whole of the Word. If our building of our relationship with God doesn't automatically begin to outpour into the lives of other people, then we're leaving parts of that out. Because very much the Word encourages us to be living out our faith, to be expressing our faith in love, to be living that relationship that we have with God. Now, Jesus was the perfect example of this. Go back to Mark. Go back to Matthew. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 20. That's why I keep notes, because if it were all up here, every Sunday we'd just be going around and I wouldn't be able to find anything. Matthew chapter 20. Verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. It says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." You see, Jesus was in a position where He served, where He did look out for the needs and desires of others rather than only Himself, rather than putting Himself in a place where He said, well, my needs are more important than anybody else's, and so I'm going to make sure that I meet my needs first, and then everybody else will get maybe what's left over. See, if we remember what Jesus, when He was in the garden and He is talking to God and He says, "If it be your will, let this cup pass from me." You see, Jesus' desire was to live. And that certainly is my desire as well in life. Jesus' desire was to live, but He served. He served. Rather than following only what He wanted to do, he, in obedience to God, his relationship with God, he lived out that obedience by meeting the needs of others, which includes you and includes me and includes everybody else. He didn't come to be served, but rather to serve. And ultimately, he lived that out by dying on the cross for us. What a great sacrifice that was. So as a church then, two of our purposes are worship, building our relationship with God, loving him first and foremost. Ministry, building our relationship and serving those around us. But then also, I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. Verses that we've been working through as we look at missions and as we consider our outreach and mission in our world and in our own realm of influence within our community, within our area and region. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That going and making disciples is evangelism. Another purpose that we as a church have to evangelize, to share the good news of the message of Jesus Christ. All four Gospels have a similar teaching in them. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, Jesus says to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." And so we have a purpose then as a church body and as individuals, a purpose to evangelize, a purpose to go and make disciples, to teach the Word of God, to teach the truth. And be able to bring individuals from darkness to light. Amen? To bring individuals out of darkness and into light in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is another verse that we've looked at. You're welcome to turn there, but I'll probably be done reading it by the time you do. Write it down if you're keeping notes. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The very things that we've been talking about this last month or so. Being witnesses in our own area, evangelizing and bringing forth the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ within our own realm of influence. Those individuals that are around us that we know and love. Those individuals that are around us that we know and don't care for much. Right? Having that evangelism and that servant heart for them, not only them, but within our community, within our region, and even within our world, to be evangelizing and being purposeful in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That's one of our goals, our purposes, as a church, as a body of believers, and as the body of Jesus Christ worldwide. One of the goals and purposes that we have. Part of Matthew talks about go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That baptizing them is a fellowship. That baptizing them is a fellowship. And not because baptism magically makes them a part of a body of believers. Not that baptizing makes them a part and now they can have fellowship, but if the baptism isn't there, they can't have fellowship. But rather that in baptism, as we display outwardly, as we physically display the faith and changed heart that we have inwardly, we are proclaiming that we are a part of the body of Christ. That we are a part of the body of Christ. And so our responsibility to each other within the body of Christ is to encourage and strengthen each other. It's to build each other up in maturity, in wholeness, encouraging, sometimes prodding. The word talks about prodding, and encouraging and prodding are a little bit different. Encouraging usually comes with a nice pat on the back and prodding with a kick to the seat, doesn't it? But as a body of believers, our fellowship and our encouragement to each other then is a part of what we do as believers and what we ought to do as believers. Earlier we were in Ephesians chapter 4, and I said we're going to come back there. Right now is the time, except it's not Ephesians 4, it's Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Turn there with me. Ephesians 2. We will get to Ephesians 4 in a minute. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So we, as the body of believers in Jesus Christ, are being built together, joined together, and being fitted perfectly together to be the body of Jesus Christ. To act like Jesus Christ did, to live like Jesus Christ did, to minister like Jesus Christ did, to teach like Jesus Christ did. We are being built and fitted together. And that's our fellowship. That's our togetherness. That's our being together, going toward the same goal and the same purpose, joining together in who we are, not that we become a carbon copy of each other, but rather that we use our own gifts and talents and abilities as the body of Christ to minister in all sorts of different areas. Some people are good at some things that I am not good at. In fact, lots of people are good at lots of things that I am not good at. And each one of us, as we do the things that we're good at, meet specific, purposeful needs in our lives. Amen? I could list all sorts of them. I don't think we have the time to even start talking about the things that I'm not good at that you guys are good at. Things that I'm not able to do, but that you're really able to do. Areas in which you minister wonderfully and perfectly, in which I am totally inept at. But that's why we together are the body of Christ. That's why we together are joined and fitted together, so that we together are able to make an impact that all of us individually are not able to make. It's a good thing we're not all the same. Amen? It's a good thing that we're not all the same. Sometime in our fellowship, I think we maybe have a desire to be like other people at some things. Oh, boy, I wish I was like this person, because they're really good at this, and I really can't do that at all. And I'd really be able to minister if I could do that thing. We're good at things that are different, so that we corporately can minister and have a lot greater impact than one person or one individual would be able to have by themselves. And for us as a body of believers, then, to be encouraging each other in that, to be encouraging each other in our own talents and our own abilities, to be able to lift each other up and be able to encourage the things that you are good at, the things that you are able to do that others maybe aren't able to do, or that only a few others can do, and so together you can make even a bigger impact. We have a purpose then. We have the ability as a body of believers to be knowing each other well enough to know those things about each other. To be fellowshipping with each other enough to know the things that we can encourage the other person about, whether it's a nice loving encouragement or whether it's a kick in the seat, prodding type of encouragement, spurring one another on, as Hebrews says, spurring one another on. We ought to be connected with each other. Connected with each other to know what's going on in our lives. Connected with each other enough to be able to truly serve each other. Truly minister to each other. Meet the needs of each other. And that occurs, we would fit that under the umbrella of fellowship. To have that fellowship of believers that union of believers. Back in the Great Commission, then, we find also the very last part of Matthew chapter 28, going and making disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's discipleship. That's building and encouraging each other up, specifically through discipleship, having them grow and mature. You see, fellowship, when an individual becomes a part of a fellowship, they start out not as full-blown, been a believer all their lives, and everything is mature and complete. So when somebody comes to faith on that day when they are converted and when they are changed, when they come to faith and become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't on that day become a perfectly mature, complete, whole believer. They're sin-free by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're made righteous and holy in God's eyes, but they're going to have room for growth in their life, right? And you know that, and the reason I know you know that, and I'm not trying to tell any secrets here, you know that because X number of years you've been a believer, and you still have areas of growth in your life, correct? And I'm not trying to tell on you. I'm not trying to point you out in front of everybody else. But that's the truth for all of us. You know, we've been a believer for, you fill in the blank of how many days, weeks, months, years, decades. And you know that there's still areas of growth. Well, that's the case for all of us. And that's the case for individuals who have just come to faith as well. And so discipleship is encouragement and fellowship that brings along that growth process that doesn't end when we've been a believer X number of years. Well, I've already been a believer this long, so I don't really need to be discipled anymore. I don't really need any help. You know, I come to church and I do those things, but I don't really listen too much anymore either because I've heard it all. I've been a believer this long. Discipleship, rather, grows and builds up that each individual believer throughout the entirety of their lives. It's not something that, well, for the first year, we'll be very purposeful in discipling an individual, but after that, we'll just kind of let them flounder. But rather, as we are fellowshipping and growing together, that discipleship is something that we as a church ought to be encouraging and promoting and pushing. That discipleship that happens in our own personal relationships with each other. That's a discipleship that occurs within our personal relationship with each other. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 again. In Ephesians chapter 4, we looked at verses 11 and 12 earlier. Now we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. It says, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So this is a constant building up. This is a building up that we are able to do with each other in our relationships with each other, to be building each other up and encouraging each other through works of service so that we're able to corporately be mature and complete, to be corporately in a position where we continually grow. Now, does that mean that you and I are going to be completely sin-free in our lives? Unfortunately, no. The good news is God's eye on our position, God's viewpoint of our position, as we become a believer in Jesus Christ, where we look at us and say, no, I continue to sin. In fact, just this morning, I did this. Because of the forgiving blood of Jesus Christ, when God looks at us, guess how He sees us? Perfectly clean. Perfectly clean, perfectly sin-free. That's a paradigm shift that we're going to have to get to some other day. To be able to recognize and understand the fact that we know that we're sinners, and God gets that, But by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees us as perfect, unblemished as his Son, Jesus Christ. We as a body of believers then can be helping each other to A, recognize the position that the place that God holds for us and the viewpoint that God has of us. Helping each other realize and understand the forgiveness that is available through Jesus Christ. But then also discipling each other through our teaching, through our purpose. Discipling each other so that we can break some of those maybe patterns of sin that we've held. So that we can mature in our lives and be able to put off the old way of life and put on the new way of life. So that we can grow in what we know about God and how we know God and experience Him. So that we can grow in our worship and all that it entails. So that we can grow in our ministry toward each other here within the body and out in the world as well. So that we can grow purposefully in who we are as a body of believers and who I am as an individual in Jesus Christ. See, that's discipleship. Being purposeful in our encouragement toward growth. Bringing each other along and together growing through Jesus. Go to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we get a glimpse, we get a piece of the early church living that purpose. We give a glimpse of the early church living those purposes that God has for the church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I misread verse 45. I'm going to read it again. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. So you see, the early church was living out these purposes. They set foundations in their lives and in what they did so that they were purposeful in worship. They were purposeful in evangelism and disciple making. They were purposeful in service or ministry. They were purposeful in their fellowship. That they planned together where they lived God's desire for them as a church. We are able to meet these same purposes, to follow through in these same purposes, and have this same fellowship that the early church had as well. But it takes purpose on our part as well. It takes purpose on our part as well. A number of months ago, we began shifting toward a small group ministry focus so that we could purposefully meet some of these purposes of the church, but purposefully encourage growth and strength within individual believers. And so corporately then, to be growing as a church body. If you have not ever been involved in a small group fellowship yet in the last 8 or so months, I would encourage you to consider that. We have a few of them that run on a regular basis. To be plugged in and involved with a small group of individuals, if you'd like to start one with a few other families or individuals, I'd encourage you to do that. To be plugged into an intimate group of individuals so that we can be together building and encouraging each other, we can together be holding each other accountable and ministering to each other, serving each other in love and corporately worshiping God together as we are united in our fellowship. As we are together encouraging and building each other up in Jesus Christ. So if you're not involved in a small group, I'd really encourage you to consider that. If you want some more details about that or anything, please talk to me about it. You can go through some of those things and look at some of the options that are already available, or maybe some options for starting another small group. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Great God, you are perfect in all of your ways. We proclaim that you are God and that you alone are God. We establish you as God in our hearts and in our lives, and so desire to follow through with that in everything that we do. Father, help us as we minister to each other, as we encourage and fellowship with each other. Father, help us to follow through in the desire that you have for us individually and the purposes that you have for us as a church body. God, as we continue to grow our small group ministry, Father, help us to be able to be continually focused on you, to meet the needs of each other, and to together mature, become whole and complete. God, we give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.